This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll learn about the revival of the Chautauqua in Urbana this week. We'll also get a forecast for Chautauqua days ahead from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keezer. First, a look at today's news. Proposed amendments to the City of Urbana's redevelopment agreement with Lincoln Square Village include the admission that a residential development won't come to the downtown mall anytime soon. The amendments face a final Urbana City Council vote next week after preliminary approval last night. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
In the original agreement reached 3 years ago, the city offered tax abatements and other benefits if Lincoln Square Village completed two components, office space and a residential development. The office space has been built and occupied, but Lincoln Square President Jim Webster says problems inherent with installing apartments in a shopping mall mean the residential part will take more time than the redevelopment agreement allows, so that item is being removed. Urbana Mayor Laurel Pressing says Lincoln Square remains a worthwhile investment for the city, even without the residential component.
It would be nice to have it right at Lincoln Square, but I don't think that the entire development of the downtown depends on residential at the top of Lincoln Square. I think we'd like to see some more retail there. It was originally developed for retail, and I think the city's more interested in having retail.
The revised agreement removes a $50,000 annual payment from the city that came in addition to the tax abatement, but it adds a liquor license for the mall for a business Webster describes as a major entertainment venue that he can't name until lease negotiations are completed. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Arraignment is set for today for the man accused of killing his estranged wife and burying the body in a shallow grave in southern Champaign County. Prosecutors are expected to reveal more details about the case against Robert Arnett. He's charged with murder and concealing a homicidal death. Naomi Arnett had been missing for 4 months before a volunteer search team found her body September 29th, 3 miles from her hometown of Sadorus. Illinois Republicans are under a little more pressure to expand health care coverage to children. Last week, President Bush vetoed a bill that would have extended health insurance to millions of kids. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says he's spending this week persuading local congressmen to override the veto.
It's important for Illinois. 300,000 kids receive health insurance now under this program. The president's veto puts that in jeopardy. The new program that he's vetoing would increase the number of Illinois kids by 150,000, kids that wouldn't have health insurance otherwise.
Durbin says at least 15 more Republican votes are needed in the House to override the veto. The House is expected to vote on the bill this week. The campaign of former TV star Fred Thompson is putting together an Illinois organization. The country's last actor-turned-president was born here, and now former Law & Order star Thompson is courting voters in Ronald Reagan's home state. Illinois has, though, typically been a tough territory for conservative candidates like Thompson. A late entry into the presidential race, the Republican hopeful made his first fundraising stop last week in Illinois, a state that's already in the sights of other top GOP contenders like Rudy Giuliani and Mitt Romney. Both Republican and Democratic candidates are paying some attention to Illinois because, like a number of other delegate-rich states, it's holding an early primary next year on February 5th. The family of George Sangmeister says the former U.S. congressman from Illinois has died. He was 76. Sangmeister died Sunday at a hospital in Joliet from complications of leukemia. He was a member of the Illinois State House of Representatives and State Senate before losing the lieutenant governor nomination in 1986. The Democrat was elected to the House of Representatives for 3 terms representing Illinois' 11th district, starting in 1989. Sangmeister served as an Army infantryman in the Korean War. His family says in a statement that he considered it a tremendous honor to have served the public. A wake for Sangmeister is scheduled for Wednesday. A funeral is scheduled for Thursday in Frankfort. A new field of study at the University of Illinois will focus not just on the latest in technology, but how to communicate the use of it to others. The Socio-Technical Systems Program intersects human resources with engineering and gives graduate students a chance to apply their skills in the real world. The program director, Betty Barrett, says such areas rarely speak the same language.
I hate to say it's about the bottom line, but it's ultimately about making a business more effective. And many businesses don't understand or don't take the moment to think about the value add that they might get from their employees in terms of implementing new technology.
The new program is a marriage between the U of I's Institute for Labor and Industrial Relations and the College of Engineering. Courses will begin later this fall, and two student teams will work with private businesses next spring. The Sociotechnical Systems program will eventually pair up human resources students with other areas like biology to assist on projects at hospitals and science labs. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Next to the county fair, one of the highlights of many a small town summer used to be the Chautauqua. Traveling shows would come to Illinois towns in the late 19th and early 20th centuries and give people a chance to learn about the world they live in, all served up with a good dose of entertainment. The Urbana Park District wants to revive the Chautauqua as it celebrates 100 years of managing the city's parks. The Chautauqua was a back-to-nature kind of event. For a few days, tents were pitched at a park or nature preserve for what you could call an intellectual county fair. That's the intent, no pun intended, of the Urbana Park District's event in Crystal Lake Park. Between Tuesday and Sunday, the tents and stages that went up Monday will be the site of as wide an array of activities as the Park District has ever amassed in one place. Dana Mancuso has been helping coordinate and market the modern event.
That's exactly what the Chautauquas of the past did. They brought sort of a little of everything. You could go and hear someone talk about the topic of religion in the morning and hear about your liver health in the afternoon and hear some kind of music in the evenings.
Politics, religion, concert bands, even dog and pony shows were all fair game for Chautauquas since not long after the first one was held in Chautauqua, New York, though the original event was held to educate Sunday school teachers. Education was always at the center of the Chautauqua movement. And the Park District's Dan Gibble says when the Chautauqua Circuit had finished its run in a town, it was off to the next one.
So they'd come and set up their tents for a week, and then they would move on maybe 40, 50 miles down the road here to another small town the next week. So there were companies that were making livings off of this, and they would handle booking all the performers and would handle getting all the tents and setting up, whereas today Urbana Park District staff is doing all of that.
From the late 1800s to the Depression era, you could come out to the grounds, pitch a picnic blanket or even a tent for overnight camping, and take in the well-rounded festivals.
This is early Shelbyville. This is Jacksonville. This is Casey, Illinois. And then Weldon Springs, which was around a long time.
William Smith's stack of brochures from early 20th century Chautauquas is going up on display at the Urbana Free Library. Chautauquas were the biggest warm weather events going in most small and medium towns, including Champaign and Urbana.
When Urbana Park District took over Crystal Lake Park in 1907, which is the 100th anniversary, the Chautauqua was established at that time in the park. And then eventually it moved to what they called Busey Grove at the time, now Busey Woods, and then back to the fairgrounds.
But technology and hard times pushed the Chautauqua into history.
Automobiles, people's ability to be mobile, radio, where people had access to information. And I think the Depression had an impact too, because some communities couldn't afford to hire these firms and people couldn't afford to pay the fees necessary to support the Chautauqua program.
The Park District Citizens Committees that helped guide the program schedule wanted to make sure this Chautauqua called up some of the past, even amid acts as contemporary as the Najwa Dance Corps and the Little River Band. Speakers impersonating John Muir, Rachel Carson, and Teddy Roosevelt will all extol the virtue of preserving nature, as well environmental attorney Robert F. Kennedy Jr., appearing as himself, of course. And although people won't be able to camp out at the Urbana Chautauqua, Park District employee June Miller encourages people to come for more than just one or two reasons.
This is very different than any kind of festival the Park District normally does. Just the whole combination of variety to it, I think, will be very appealing to people. Some have certain things they want to come for, and I think when they come, they're really going to want to come back again and again for it throughout the whole week.
You can find the whole list of activities for the Urbana Park District Centennial Chautauqua at their website, urbanaparks.org. We are finally getting some October-like weather in this October. Our forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser calls for some lingering clouds in the eastern part and southeastern parts of Indiana, with some lingering showers, then becoming mostly sunny. Elsewhere across the two states, just mostly sunny, and highs today from around 70 in northwest Illinois to 82 in the far south. Clear to partly cloudy, the forecast for tonight, with lows from around 40 in northwest Illinois to only 52 in the far south. And for tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun, and highs from around 50 in far northwest Illinois to 74 in the far south. Champaign-Urbana's highs won't get out of the 60s for the next couple days late this week. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.